And as you do, I want you to stand to your feet. We honor the reading of God's word. You'll open to the book of John, chapter 16. We began a series a couple weeks ago entitled Relationship with the Holy Spirit. How many of you want to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? You know, this is a concept I don't feel like we think about very much. I know we as Pentecostals, we are very familiar with the terminology of the Holy Spirit. We love the power of the Holy Spirit. But this concept that we can have an active living relationship with the Holy Spirit, I feel like it's something very lacking. And so we're going to go deeper in this. But look at John chapter 16, and we'll begin at verse 7. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation this morning. And this is what it says. It's Jesus speaking. He said, "Here's the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will expose sin. He will prove the world is wrong about God's righteousness and his judgments." Jump down to verse 12. I'll explain the verses in between there in a moment. Verse 12. "There's so much I would like to say to you, but it's more than you can grasp at this moment. When the truth-giving spirit," now, just so you know, that divine encourager and that truth-giving spirit, these are both talking about Holy Spirit. Everybody say Holy Spirit. He says, "He will unveil the reality of every truth within you. He won't speak on his own, but only what he hears the Father, and he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. He will glorify me on the earth. He will receive from me, for he will receive from me what is mine and reveal it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father belongs to me. That's why I say the divine encourager will receive what is mine and reveal it to you. Soon you won't see me any longer, but then after a little while you will see me in a new way." Wow. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord's hand on this message this morning. Mighty God, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that it is inspired by the Spirit. And we ask you, Lord, to breathe on this word, to breathe on this time together. Mighty God, that every person within the sound of my voice, those in this room, those who are joining us online, even those who will listen to our podcast or watch the video weeks from now, we ask you to touch, move, and minister in a great and a mighty way. And Lord, even right now, I just ask that an anointing would come upon me, that under the authority and under the anointing of your Spirit, I would preach as I ought to, that you would anoint the listener here today. And God, even now, we bind the assignments of the enemy, he who would seek to uproot or twist or distort, distract from the word of God. We just pray for a great liberty to receive your word this morning in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen. You may be seated. I talked at length a few weeks ago about how the Holy Spirit, did you know this? The Holy Spirit's not a dove. We know this, right? Rodney Ard Brown tells a story of when a dove flew through a meeting he was in Brazil, and the place just went nuts. And it was just a bird. It was literally just a bird. And, you know, there's a symbolism that's there. It's wonderful. But, you know, we don't worship Jesus as if he's literally a lamb or honor God as if he's literally a lion, even though these are pictures that the Bible used to describe maybe a nature or part of what the Lord has done and accomplished on our behalf. And in the same token, we don't take the Lamb or we don't take the Holy Spirit and say, oh, he is a dove. The Holy Spirit has a nature. He has likes and dislikes. And this morning, I want to talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, person of the Holy Spirit. You know the Holy Spirit is a person. What makes him a person? You know, we've all been to a funeral. And one of the things that I notice is, have you ever gone to a funeral and you go up to the casket, you look at the individual who's there in the coffin, and you just know that's not Steve, that's not Joe. You guys know what I'm talking about. It's like you look at that person and you know that the life, the spirit is not in there. It's a shell. They might resemble that person that you love, that you cared for, that you knew in this lifetime, but that's not that person. And It's like you can take an individual like me, and boy, you can look at me, and I can show up to church one Sunday, and I've got a great and glorious beard. And I can show up the next Sunday, and I've got a clean-shaven face, and then I come, and I've got chops the next Sunday, and I'm confusing people. In fact, it was hilarious. We were at the cathedral, and was laying hands on people in the altars. And there was a lady who came up to us afterwards, and she was getting mad. She's like, who is this stranger who's in the altars laying hands on our people? You know, and she was very upset, and she actually came down to rebuke me and then realized, oh, it's Pastor Jacob. You know, I can come with a different appearance, but at the end of the day, I'm still me, you understand? And so I wanted to look at what actually makes a person a person. And then we're going to talk about the function of this person. I just want to give you a couple ideas in regards to the Holy Spirit. But I want to show you some things because we've got this idea, well, Holy Spirit's just, he's like electricity, or Holy Spirit's like a cloud, or Holy Spirit's like a force in Star Wars, and is great and wonderful and in their own ways maybe accurate as all those may be. Holy Spirit is a person. So what makes a person a person? First of all, Holy Spirit can think on his own. This may seem elementary to some of you, but I want you to understand, Holy Spirit can think. Everybody say think. Part of what makes you a person is your capacity to think. In 1 Corinthians 2:10, it says that there are mysteries of God that are revealed by the Spirit, because the Spirit, I love this, is constantly searching out everything. He is constantly exploring things. Isn't that a cool idea? And so if you want revelation, in fact, you might remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about this idea that the Lord has mysteries. He has secrets. There are things that the Lord is intending to do that has not yet been revealed. And the way that he's going to reveal those things is through the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is constantly searching. He's examining. And through the veil of Scripture, there are things that the Holy Spirit intends to do that the devil doesn't know about, that you're not going to read about prophetically, but the Lord, through the Spirit, will reveal through his sons and daughters. Holy Spirit is thinking. He's strategizing, and if you get close to him, you can hear his thoughts. Here's the second thing. Holy Spirit has emotions. Everybody say emotions. Part of what makes us a person is the fact that we have emotions, and Holy Spirit has emotions. It's like, you know, the other day, my kids were freaking out because there was a giant cockroach in our house. And I don't know about you, but I don't feel bad about squashing a cockroach. Do you feel bad about squashing a cockroach? Maybe some of you do. I feel bad for puppies, you know, because they can look at you like they're sad. I mean, like some animals actually seem to convey they've got emotions. You know what I mean? But I don't feel bad for the cockroach because it doesn't express emotions. Maybe it is in a way that I don't understand. I mean, if the cockroach began to cry, you know, but I've got a family, you know, I'm just trying to scavenge food for my children. You know, if the cockroach was crying out like that, I'd probably feel bad because it's expressing emotions. I know this is a goofy illustration, but did you know that the Holy Spirit has emotions as well? The Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit can actually be grieved, and this is a common teaching. We understand this. We know that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. We know that the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, can actually be mocked in Hebrews chapter 10, 29. That literally, if we dishonor Jesus or we dishonor the blood of Jesus, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is mocked. The Bible even says in Acts chapter 5 in verse 3 that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. You can't lie to somebody who's not a person. I can't lie to, you know, an inanimate object necessarily, and not in a way that will, you know, is any significant, right? You understand what I'm saying. I mean, I can lie to myself. I can lie to you. I can lie to God. We can lie to the Holy Spirit. That's what Ananias said. This is what the Apostle Peter. Why has Satan so filled your heart that you would lie to the Holy Spirit? And I want us to be mindful of this because I don't know if you grew up like this, but I I got in a lot of trouble when I was a little kid, okay? And I had problems, and my parents would come to the principal's office on occasion, and I had some difficulties growing up. But, you know, it was always a terrible thing when my parents would get mad. Anybody ever have a mama they would get mad at you? I mean, it's about the scary, my daughter's raising her hand. You know, it's about the scariest thing when you hear your parents stomping across the room coming to punish you. In fact, my brother and I just had a problem. I don't know why. We could be quiet. We could pay attention. We could do what was right. But for some reason, about 8:30, 9 o'clock p.m. would hit. We'd get tucked into our beds. And all of a sudden, this supernatural energy would just begin to possess me and my brother. And we could not shut up. And we could not stop squirming. And we could not be still. And next thing you know, you would hear my mom just... I mean, all the way down the length of that. That's the most terrifying thing that you've ever heard in your life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And and they'd have stomped down the house, you know, come down to the room. And boy, you know, you just were wondering what she found along the way to whip us with. Why, you know, was it going to be a belt? Was it going to be a shoe? Was it going to, I know you guys use slippers here, right? You just take off your slipper and that's what you go at the kids. And, that would have been more pleasant than some of the stuff that she found to whip us with. But we, you know what really stung though? As much as I feared the wrath of my parents, I'll never forget the first time my mom looked at me with pain in her eyes and said these words that maybe you've heard. I'm so disappointed in you. Has anybody ever heard that? It grieves me to think about it even right now. I mean, it's just like, you know that you have wounded them on a level that goes beyond anger. You know that you've gotten to the heart of your parents and you violated something that they had trusted you with, right? And so I just thought, you know, I understand, and I understood from a very young age about the wrath or about the judgment of God. But my love and even my integrity and as far as my walk with the Lord, it really came to a new place when I began to understand that God's not just getting angry over sin, which he does on occasion, and God will judge a sin if it's not dealt with, but the idea that we can actually hurt God with our actions. We can hurt God by the things that we do. In fact, my wife and I were driving yesterday, and I was thinking about a comedian that her and I used to enjoy. You know, I won't tell you his name, but if I said you, many of you would probably know. But this guy started out as a Christian and loved the Lord, had scripture, you know, on his website. And, you know, it was known that he loved the Lord. But this guy has become very popular over the last few years in particular, you know, has gotten TV programs and all this kind of stuff. And now, I mean, it's just, you don't see a sign of God in the thing at all. And the jokes and all of this, we've had to stop watching him because he's gone vulgar. And as my wife and I were thinking and we were talking about this, the thought struck me, like, how much do you think that grieves the Holy Spirit? Here's somebody he loves and he's given a gift to make people laugh. You know that's a gift, right? And bring joy to people. And now that he's got some realm of success and popularity, he just forgets about the Lord. He turns his back. And I just, you know, my wife and I, truly, honestly, we apologized to the Holy Spirit last night because of that. That may sound strange to you, but Holy Spirit has emotions, and I'm just determined I don't want to be somebody who hurts God's feelings. I don't ever want Holy Spirit to feel like he doesn't have a place or he's not welcome in our church or in my life by the things that I say or do. Amen? We're going to be a people that please the Lord, right? Right? Okay, here's number three. Number three, Holy Spirit has a will. Holy Spirit has a will. So let me just back up for a second. First of all, we said Holy Spirit can do what? Are you guys taking notes? You're writing down the third point, aren't you? He can think. Holy Spirit can think, right? He's got a mind. Holy Spirit, what was I just talking about? Holy Spirit has what? emotions, right? He's got emotions. And Holy Spirit has a will. And we see this in a couple places in 1 Corinthians 12:11. Talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And then it says that the Holy Spirit works all of these things. Healing, prophecy, tongues, discerning of spirits and so on, working of miracles. He does all of these things, distributing to each one as he wills. So we see that Holy Spirit has a will. There's things that he desires to do. In Acts 13:2, the church was in a place of fasting and praying. And the Holy Spirit said, now this always struck me as interesting. The Bible says, Holy Spirit said, separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work that I have called them to. Now, that's very interesting. Think about that statement for a minute. First of all, bless you. Bless you. First of all, you know, this is a random thought, but can I share it? So we've got a friend. In fact, he's going to be ministering for us. His name is David Hall. He's going to be ministering for us at the end of next month. And he said there was a lady in a church. It wasn't even his church. A church that sneezed, and he commanded the spirit to come out of her. Come out in Jesus' name. So offended the lady. I mean, she did not want to be a part of the church any longer. And so, but that's not Naomi. She's a worshiper. She's a woman of God. Praise God. What was I saying? Holy Spirit has a will. So this is what was very interesting to me, is the idea that these guys had a level of sensitivity to the Lord that they could actually discern when God was speaking, God the Father was speaking, when an angel was bringing a message, or even when the Holy Spirit was saying something. I'll be honest with you guys, I'm not on that level. I can hear, I can prophesy, but I am not in the place where I can even discern, like, wow, was that Holy Spirit himself speaking to me, or is that a word from Jesus? I don't know about you, but I want to get in that place. I mean, I understand the difference between when my daughter and my wife speak to me. And I believe that if these guys were in a place of sensitivity, they knew the difference when the Spirit of the Lord or an angelic spirit or Jesus or the Father were speaking. I believe that we can know that too. And it's just a desire that's birthed on the inside of me. But what's interesting as well is the Bible said, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul, whom I have called. And so Holy Spirit actually had a will and was actually able to release a call on individuals that he wanted to move into a realm of ministry. Isn't that something? If you ever want to sense what the call of God on your life is, here's a practical thing. Invite Holy Spirit into your life. Holy Spirit has calls. Holy Spirit has desires. He has a will. He has emotions. And if we get near to him, it's like, you know, it's like I can't say my wife, because I was going to say, you know, my wife has a desire at times where she wants to eat, but that's not true. It's, anybody knows, any husbands can say, you know, the wife gets hungry, but she won't tell you where she wants to eat. She has a desire, but she doesn't have a will. I don't know. I guess that's what that would be, but, which I heard somebody say, oh, don't say that. You'll get me in trouble. I had somebody had said, though, that was a curse that came even with the fall of mankind, because the first time in Scripture you see a woman choosing what they're going to eat, it led to the fall of all mankind. And so that's why. So, men, it's your job to figure out. Oh. You can tell I haven't preached for a couple weeks. These bunny trails are coming too fast. All right. So do we understand, though? Holy Spirit has a mind. He's got will. He's got an emotions. Holy Spirit is a person. That's all I'm trying to express to you. And now that we understand that Holy Spirit is a person, so you got it. You got it? Holy Spirit's a person. He's a person as real as you and I. He's not just a cloud. He's not just a pillar of fire. Holy Spirit is a person. And when we understand that Holy Spirit is a person, we understand that there are things that he is able to do. You know, it's a blessing to be able to watch these prophets minister. But you know, a lot of these prophets, in fact, I feel like one of them over the course of the conference was even saying, you don't want a prophet to be a marriage counselor or to be a counselor at all, right? You want somebody, because have you ever been counseled by a prophet? You know what a prophet does? You're going to go and you're going to tell them your problem, and they will rebuke you and tell you to stop it. Just go talk to my wife, okay? I mean, she's a prophet. Seriously, she is a prophet, and that's fine, because you get her in the role that she's supposed to be in. Boy, it's life-giving, it's encouraging, it's directional, it's powerful. But you put her in the wrong seat, it's gonna burn some people, okay? And I'm the same way. And so you look, and there's a number of things. You gotta get the right people in the right seat. For example, I was actually listening to Pastor Fafita, Joshua Fafita, our Tongan pastor, receiving his prophetic word. And I'm listening to this, and I'm getting encouraged by it. And I look over, and Daniel Wine, Pastor Daniel Wine, you guys all know Pastor Daniel Wine? He leads our homeless ministry here on the island of Maui. And I look over at Pastor Daniel, and he's crying. He's crying. It's not even his prophetic word. It has nothing to do with him. But he's just like so happy over what's being declared over Pastor Joshua that he's just standing there crying like a baby. And I look, and you know what that is? He has got such a gift of compassion and mercy. And it's just like he'll rejoice. See, those are the kinds of people you need to go to for counseling, right? You want a good count. You go to somebody who's going to cry. It's going to be okay. I love you anyway, you know. It's probably not going to be me, but I mean, really, really, some of you are built that way. Some of you are built that way, and you need to get around people like that. And so now that we understand, Holy Spirit is a person, and there's certain things that Holy Spirit really wants to do. There's things that he's really good at. First of all, did you know Holy Spirit is an author? Holy Spirit is an author. Well, what has he written? You just take your Bible. He is the author of the Old and the New Testament. And this will radically change your view of Scripture if you understand this, because you hear people say, well, you know, how can you trust the Bible? It was written by flawed man, and it's got error. When you understand, if you can accept the idea that Holy Spirit inspired the words in the Scripture. In fact, Luke didn't write the book of Luke. Holy Spirit wrote the book of Luke. He used Luke. You guys trekking with me? And where do you get that, Pastor? Look at this. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1, 21, it says, prophecy never came by the will of men, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. This is why. You'll never hear me or anybody we have preach in this church get behind the pulpit and preach from a newspaper. Or I won't even, you know, I practice what we call expository preaching. I will take what the Bible says and I will build upon that. What I will not do is take a clever idea that popped into my head and try and find a verse that, this kind of fits with my idea. This agrees with me. No, I want to agree with Scripture. I'm not trying to make Scripture agree with me. You understand the difference. And so anywhere you go into our life groups, you're going to notice that we use the Bible and we preach from the Bible. And so we esteem this very highly because we believe that Holy Spirit inspired every single word that's in this Scripture. Amen? The second thing, Holy Spirit, I'm giving you a lot of points. Are you trekking with me still? Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, number two, is a helper. Holy Spirit is a helper. John 15:26, when the helper, everybody say helper, when the helper comes, I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify of me. He's here to help you. Anybody need help in life? Well, I know that I do. That's the Greek word when it says, I'll send you a helper. It's the Greek word paraclete. You can remember it by saying parakeet. Okay, everybody say paraclete, because this is kind of how I view it. Again, Holy Spirit's not a dove, but his nature is like a dove. And I just like to imagine that I invite Holy Spirit, and he just comes and he hangs out with me and just come and sit on my shoulder and read Scripture as I'm reading Scripture. Teach me as I'm seeking to understand. Help me. In fact, my wife and I, this is true, we went to Hana yesterday. I don't know why we went to Hana on a Saturday, but that's what we did. And we drove for 15 hours, I don't know, and it was great. But here's what we did. Honestly, when we first got in the car, we welcomed the Holy Spirit. We invited Holy Spirit to come and sit in between our kids. And we welcomed them to come and to be with us. And we had an interesting moment. We went and we did that hike all the way up. I don't know what they call it. You go all the way up to the waterfall. You guys know, through the bamboo forest and all that. So we get up there to the top, and we're there and just enjoying, you know, relaxing, having some snacks and stuff. And my kids, Mariah and Gabriel, they go and they want to go like walk down the creek a little bit there, and they go, and Mariah gets about 5 steps in and she falls. She falls and she hits her hand, and it kind of hurt her hand. So she comes back to us, and a minute later, there I heard this, and all of a sudden I saw this big rock came down a little further down. This big rock came and fell and splashed down into the water. Didn't hit or hurt anybody. But I had the thought. In fact, my daughter was the one who pointed it out. She's like, that rock fell exactly where me and Gabriel were going to play. And she's like, what if I fell because God wanted to stop me from going to where that rock would have fallen and maybe even killed one of us? And so I'm like, Mariah, are you saying that the Holy Spirit tripped you? And no, that's not what she's saying. But you understand. You ever think in those terms? Like, you ever think, husbands, that maybe you're sitting in the car and you're waiting for your wife for a long time, and that she's being delayed for a divine purpose? Maybe you're going to avoid a car accident on the way to, the way to your destination because the Holy Spirit hid her eyebrow marker or whatever it is that she's looking for, right? All right, I'm sorry. Praise God. So, Holy Spirit is a helper. Everybody say helper. You need to, for real, learn to praise God when you get a flat tire. I'm really not kidding. Praise God when you're waiting. In fact, there was a time my wife and I were eating at a restaurant. This was in Dallas, and our waiter was so slow. Anybody ever have a slow waiter? It'll test your patience. And we were just waiting, and we actually had a hospital visit we were going to make. We told them we were going to be there at a certain time, but the pizza was delayed, and then the bill was delayed, and this thing took forever. We got on the road about 20 minutes later than we had intended to, and as we were going down the road, traffic began to slow down, and we saw this massive accident, semi-truck that had barreled into another car. Multiple cars that were damaged in this, and we began to think about the time frame. If we would have left when we had intended, we would have been right there, right when that accident would have happened. I just wonder, man, did God maybe slow down this thing and I could lose my salvation because I'm not being patient? But have you ever thought, man, maybe God's got an idea. Maybe God knows what's coming down the road and he stops it, okay? Number 3, Holy Spirit is a teacher. I already spoiled this one a little bit for you. Holy Spirit is a teacher. Everybody say teacher. We read this earlier. Jesus said, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He won't speak of his own authority, but what he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. The things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. That's incredible. You understand, you've got the best teacher in all of history at your disposal right now. You open the Word of God and you invite Holy Spirit to teach you. Even as you're, one thing I have enjoyed about doing all this nature stuff these last few days, you know that the Lord can speak through creation. The Lord can speak through nature. I've had some of my most incredible God encounters while I've been snorkeling. I'm just following a little turtle around, and I see a fish, and it's just like, man, God, you are incredible. Why? Because I invite Holy Spirit to be with me, and He's showing me, He'll just highlight little things, and I'll just get fascinated about some aspect of a wave. You guys know what I'm talking about? You invite Holy Spirit to go on a hike with you sometime or to go surfing with you. Hallelujah. Number four, Holy Spirit is a comforter. Holy Spirit is a comforter. John 16, 7. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Anybody ever in need of a comforter? I know that I have been. Invite Holy Spirit. He wants to be a comforter in your life. If you're in a place of deep grieving or trial, or maybe you don't even know what's wrong, but you can invite Holy Spirit and He can comfort you. He can comfort you. Number five, Holy Spirit is a source of power. Oh, we get excited about this one, don't we? He's a source of power. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Everybody say power. You know that? Holy Spirit is a source of power. And in fact, I'm going to talk a lot about that this next week. But that word power is the Greek word dunamis. We've all heard this. It's literally the same word we derive the word dynamite from. There is explosive power that Holy Spirit desires to release in and through each and every single one of us. So awesome. Holy Spirit, number seven, is a guide to us. Or number six, Holy Spirit is a guide. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, say led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. That's in Romans 8:14. How many of you want to be a son or a daughter of the Most High God? This is what you need to do. Holy Spirit, lead me today. We do this every morning in early morning prayer. Holy Spirit, I invite you, lead us, direct us, set up divine appointments. Holy Spirit, He wants to guide us and lead us. And I've talked about this, but I get these goofy little urges sometimes where it's like, don't drive that way, drive this way. And I just trust that Holy Spirit at times will lead me. Listen to that kind of stuff. You know, you're in the water, and you'll hear these divers talk about do I need to worry about sharks or this or that? And well, sometimes you just feel eerie. You know what I believe that is? I believe that's Holy Spirit. I think there's times where you can prompt, hey, get out the water. And you listen to that. You obey that, and you get out the water. In fact, that's happened even when my wife and I were sitting on the beach on one occasion, and we just felt like, man, something feels off. Do you remember this? It was right after we got here. And we told, kids, get out the water. And we didn't know why, but it just, something felt off. And next thing you know, we see like seals and stuff even coming up out of the water. And I don't know what was out there, but that seal was running away from something. And so the seal moves faster than my kids. And so that's what they say, right? You don't have to outrun the shark. You just got to be a faster swimmer than the slowest person out there, right? So if the seals are running, it's time to get out the water, okay? Number seven. Is it six or seven? Seven. Holy Spirit is a commander. Mr. Ryland, would you come? I'm actually coming to a close right now. Holy Spirit is a commander. Oh, I like this one. The Spirit of God said to Philip, this is Acts 8:29, go overtake this chariot. I love this. The Lord was setting up an evangelistic opportunity for Philip. And boy, that's awesome. I want to be under the command of Holy Spirit. I want to be sensitive when Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, Jacob, go here. Do this. You know, one of the things that we're gonna do soon, we've been going through our Fire Starters curriculum. And one of the things that is actually required if you want to be a certified Fire Starter revivalist is we got to go on a treasure hunt. You know what a treasure hunt is? We get together, we pray. Lord, show us a person. Show us a place. Show us a treasure. Because God's got treasures that are hidden out there. And He might just say, there's a guy that I love over at Safeway. I want you to go over there. He's wearing a yellow shirt, and you know, whatever. He's got brown hair. And, you know, you just, for real, the Lord, we've done these kinds of outreaches. And the Lord, we'll just take notes on what we feel like, the Lord. And so then we'll go to Safeway. And it's the funnest thing ever. You're looking for this guy who the Lord has put on your heart. And sometimes you have multiple people speak into this. Oh, yeah, I think he looks like this. And I bet he does this for a living. And you just take these things down. And then you go, you find. And sure enough, there's that person in Safeway. You go over them. And sure enough, they work in the avenue that you felt like they worked in. And then you just encourage them with the word of the Lord. I mean, how cool would that be? Could you imagine a stranger? You're an unbeliever, and a stranger comes up to you, and man, I was just praying, and God showed me you. I saw your shirt, and then you can even show them the list. I wrote it out before we even got here. And the Lord wants you to know this. And you just begin to express what God wants to command us. Holy Spirit wants to give us orders and instructions. We've just got to be sensitive enough to hear and to respond and to move. And here's the last one. What is this, number 8? Holy Spirit is a prosecutor. Holy Spirit is a prosecutor, P-R-O-S-E-C-U-T-O-R. You know what a prosecutor is, right? You got the prosecuting attorney. And you don't want to be at the receiving end of a prosecution, right? That means you're being accused of something or something's being marked with you. But I love this because you watch with this. John 16:8 says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he is going to convict, or he's going to convince of three things: of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He's going to convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. You know, Holy Spirit, part of Holy Spirit's job, he'll come into your life and he'll convict of sin. We know what that feels like. Holy Spirit says, don't say that. Don't do that. Don't think about that. Why'd you do that? You know, he'll speak to us about our sin. Move us to repentance. That's why he speaks to us about sin. You understand? Not to make you feel bad, not to beat you down or disqualify you. But listen, deal with this. Repent. Let's get it right. Then he's going to convict or convince us of righteousness. And I like that because then he's not only going to say, hey, this is wrong, don't do that, but then he's saying, you can do better. You can live right. You can honor me with your thoughts and with your actions and with your lifestyle. You can live righteously. You can look like Jesus in this life. And then I love this. He will convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Everybody say judgment. That's a scary word. But if you look in the Scripture, that verse there, Jesus doesn't say, you know, he convict you of sin and righteousness, and if you don't get that right, then God's going to bring the hammer of judgment down on you. It's not what it says. Did you know it says that he'll convict us of judgment? Because the ruler of this world has been judged. You know what he's saying? There's an enemy of your souls. It's a prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. Satan's not in hell. Satan's going to and fro on the earth. He's destroying. He's looking for people to devour. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the devil is doing today. But part of what the Holy Spirit is going to do in each and every one of our lives, if you will allow the person of the Holy Spirit to come near, is he is going to convince you the enemy has been defeated. You are fighting a defeated foe. Yes, we might be in a spiritual battle, but you have victory over the enemy. Jesus Christ has crushed the head of the serpent, and no longer do we need to be under the dominion or authority of Satan. God has given us victory over him. Holy Spirit's going to come. He's going to say, you can win this. You can do this because the devil's already been defeated. You need somebody like that in your corner. You need somebody like that in your corner. It's amazing how much more weight you can lift if you've got a lifting buddy. Somebody who will yell at you, call you girl names or whatever. You just find, boy, you can do a few more sets than what you would do if you were just on your own. Why? Because you have somebody convincing you. They're cheering for you. They're encouraging you. You can do this. You can do this. One more. I'm not going to help you. The Holy Spirit will help you. That was a bad example. I shouldn't. Holy Spirit will help you. Wow. Why don't you stand to your feet? Let's close in a word of prayer. Does this help you? Now, this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. Like, wow, I want the person of the Holy Spirit with me. You want to know why my friends Ryan and Liz came to visit us? Because we invited them. I'm sure they would have loved to come to Hawaii, but they might not have come to Maui, and they definitely wouldn't have stayed close to us. But my wife and I have repeatedly, over the last 2 years, invited them. And they came. We're having a great time. You understand the Holy Spirit is the very same way? Luke chapter 11, verse 13, Jesus talks about a number of individuals who know how to give gifts. But he says, even evil people know how to give good gifts to their children. He said, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? If we would just invite Holy Spirit, I want that teacher. I want that helper. I want that comforter. Holy Spirit, would you come and command me? You can grab hold of any of the points. There's even more I could have covered today, but you just invite Holy Spirit. Come on my hike to Hana with me, Holy Spirit. Come with me to work today. Holy Spirit, come on my date. It's just me and my wife, but you can come too. I'd really like for you to be with us. You just begin to ask him to come. Can we just lift our hands and invite Holy Spirit even right now? Just talk to him personally. You ask him. Maybe there's one point you want to ask him specifically about. But Holy Spirit, we just invite you into our lives. We thank you, mighty God, as your word says that even a evil person, a wicked father, knows how to give good gifts to his children. And how much more will you, Heavenly Father, give us the Holy Spirit if we would only ask? And so right now, we're asking. We're asking. Holy Spirit, I invite you into my life. Not just as a cloud or as a fire, not just as a goosebump or a warmth, God. We're asking that you would come as a real, a living, thinking, emotional person into our lives. Come be with and around us, mighty God, and do what you do. Comfort and release power and encourage and instruct and teach us and guide us and do what you desire to do in each and every one of us. Holy Spirit, we invite you. We invite you. On every head bowed, every eye closed all across this room. I never want to close a service without giving individuals the opportunity. If you have never made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, but you want to, the Bible says we can call on the name of the Lord and we'll be saved. That if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that he was raised from the dead, we will be saved. And so if you're here today and you're not confident, if you were to die today, if Jesus were to return, you're not sure, man, maybe I've got sin that's separating me from God. Maybe I don't even have an active relationship with him. Let's change that today. If you're here and you say, I need to get right with God, I want to know for sure before I leave here today that my sins are forgiven and that my eternity's in heaven. If that be you, nobody looking around, at the count of three, I want to see your hand so I know exactly who I'm praying for this morning. You say, I need Jesus Christ to forgive me. At the count of three, lift up your hand. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, I see that. I see that. I see that. I see that. God bless. I see that. Are there others? Are there others? I see you in the back there. God bless you. Are there others? Yeah, I see you there in the second. I see you right there. God bless you. Is there anybody else? I want everybody to pray with me right now. Everybody repeat after me. Pray, dear Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I've sinned. Wash me, Jesus. Cleanse me and make me brand new. I give myself to you. I ask you, be my Savior, be my Lord, be my very best friend. From this moment on, I am yours and you are mine. Come live your life through me. In your precious name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now listen, just before we leave, I feel we need to do one more thing here in this place. Even as we were praying this morning, I really felt like we needed to shake off some heaviness. We really needed to cast off some burdens. And my wife even grabbed my attention as we were in that transition time. You know, the Bible says that the Lord will give us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You understand there's an exchange that happens there. What happens is we try and take the joy of the Lord and like a jacket, I'm just going to put it over my mess. We need to be a people that take off. No, I'm not going to wear heaviness. I'm not going to wear depression. I'm not going to wear weariness any longer. I'm not going to let that define me any longer. I'm taking that off so that I can put on what Christ has for me. And so, how do you think we should do this, Leah? Did you have something in your heart? No? As a physical, prophetic act, this is what I want you to do, right? You put down your Bible or your phone, because you're going to take off an imaginary garment, okay? This is what I want you to do. This may feel goofy to you, but that's okay. I don't care. You say, you know what? I've been depressed. I've been weary. I've been whatever it is. What is it that you have been carrying that you don't want to carry any longer? I want you to think about it. Can you get it in one word? You think about it. Do you got it? No, for real. Do you have that? You got something in mind? Okay. Now, this is the way binding and loosing works. You bind up, you tie up. You literally just imagine, you know, Satan, this is you, and I'm tying you up. I don't want it any longer. And then you loose what the opposing power is, right? It's like, I've got a fear of death. I'm binding that up, and I'm going to receive God's abundant life for me. I've got depression. I'm receiving joy. You understand how that works? This is what I want you to do. This is weird, but this might just work for you. Are you ready? You take this garment. Right now, I want you to take it off. Come on. Take it off. Okay. Put it down. All right. Now, take the opposing power. I want you to put it on. Come on. Pick up your garment of praise. Pick up your joy. Pick up your peace. Pick up your life, your abundant life. I want you to put that thing on. Oh, yeah. Oh, see, you guys look good now. You look good. Oh,